case of this morning, which is United States versus Page, case number 093060. Mr. Schumann.
May it please the court, counsel. I am Anthony Schumann. I represent the defendant, Emmett Page, in this case. Also at counsel table is Brett Shive, who provided invaluable assistance in preparing these briefs and this argument. Your Honors, Mr. Page was sentenced to a 96-month sentence of imprisonment, which was in the middle of a guideline range of 87 to 108 months. The guideline range was determined by the judge after reviewing the pre-sentence investigation report, wherein the judge considered probation's determination that Mr. Page should be given an enhancement for his role in the offense and because of additional criminal history. The court found that and communicated that although closely, it was not going to give Mr. Page the enhancement for the role. Additionally, the court determined that his criminal history category, as determined by probation, substantially overrepresented the seriousness of defendant's criminal history. What this meant after that analysis was that Mr. Page was essentially put back at the position that he was pursuant to a plea agreement prior to sentencing. The defendant presented a sentencing memorandum and argument that provided several meritorious and non-frivolous factors in mitigation. Most importantly was a very specific and lengthy recitation of his traumatic and tragic childhood, in which he was taken away from his parents when he was 9 years old. His parents actually had abandoned him at the time that he was 9 years old. He was separated from his siblings and put in foster care through the DCFS. We provided during that DCFS, he had several different placements in foster homes.
Yeah, even accepting that he had a very difficult childhood and was dealt a bad deck from that standpoint, an 8-year sentence for 4 bank robberies that netted thousands of dollars is extremely lenient. I mean, those judgments that the district court made to knock the range down as an initial matter took this case down quite a bit, and then the sentence that he actually gave was in the middle of that range, and given the aggravated nature of these crimes and the fact that there's so many of them, he really got a very lenient sentence.
Your Honor, that may be so, but our argument is not so much substantively or not so much substantive in whether the court gave him a lenient sentence based upon a guideline range. The defendant argued that he should be given either a low-end guideline range, a below-guideline range, but certainly as pursuant to 3553A, a sentence that was sufficient but not greater than necessary.
How much prison time did Mr. Page already serve?
How much time he had sent?
Well, he's already been in prison before, right?
He had, I believe, 2 prior incarcerations, a short one. He had a long one, a longer one for both drugs. And then the rest of his incarcerations were days for misdemeanors.
Well, because the court and he referred to those as being sort of beneficial, getting some GED time in, getting some courses in, right?
The GED time was his pre-trial incarceration or pre-sentence incarceration on this case.
Well, as far as being in prison, didn't he get have some opportunity to do some things while in prison, or did he take advantage of anything while he was in prison?
After sentencing or pre-sentence?
No, when in his previous incarceration.
I'm not sure whether he did or did not.
Because
he did not, I do know, Your Honor, that he did not take advantage of a GED program because he took advantage of the GED program pre-sentence.
Well, whatever it is, I sort of got the impression, Judge, not saying as much, but he needs some kind of structure. Gets out and gets the driving and all these other things that he seems to be without any kind of structure, that maybe prison is the only way he's going to be able to formulate his life. Get where he gets an opportunity to take some things. What, do you want to be a chef?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, to find out maybe in that structure that he might improve, as opposed to not having any structure from his childhood and others, that this is almost a necessary step before he can live in society.
I would agree that it seemed as though that the judge overwhelmingly put emphasis on the fact that because of what he perceived in a criminal history, what the judge did convey and articulate at the sentencing hearing was that he needed to be taught a lesson. But in viewing that articulation with the 3553A articulations for factors to be considered in imposing a sentence, including the need for the sentence imposed, the judge really does not articulate the need for the sentence imposed other than you need to learn a lesson.
This case really points to what Judge Sykes' question about something that's always been troubling about these guidelines for 23 years. As I see it, we see cocaine cases where people are selling cocaine to a willing buyer, and we don't bat our eye at 235-month sentences and 180-month sentences. Here, I agree with Judge Sykes that this sentence for four bank robberies, one with a chase and a car in the ditch and all that sort of stuff, the guidelines treat bank robbery much less seriously than drug dealing. I mean, I understand your argument and his personal predicament, but we see so many of these cases where they're just enormous sentences in drug cases. It's hard to look at a case like this and say, wow, boy, this fella really got a bum deal here with a 96-month sentence.
I agree.
You have to presume to be reasonable because it's within the guideline range.
But, Your Honor, I think our argument is that you can only presume it to be reasonable once you get past whether or not the court procedurally determined the sentence correctly. And our argument is not so much whether the sentence was reasonable or presumed to be reasonable, but our argument is that you could not reach that determination regardless of whether it's a cocaine case where there's a 360-month sentence or, as you say, a armed robbery case where the guideline sentence comes out to 87 months to 108 months, considering his criminal history category. That's where the guidelines calculate to. And there's no argument. We have no argument that the district court properly and considered and calculated the guideline range. But then when you get to factors that the defendant presents that are meritorious and non-frivolous, such as factors that were that the court should have taken individually as well as collectively in the backdrop of rehabilitation and the defendant's acknowledgement of the problems that, including his childhood, drugs, gambling, unemployment, lack of education, adult homelessness.
All of those things are common. Most criminal defendants come to court with all of those liabilities, and if we required sentencing courts to touch every single one of those bases every time such an argument is made in order to sustain a sentence, these sentencing hearings would go on much longer than they need to.
Not in the sense of Mr. Page's individual sentence. A sentence should be individual, not just collective. And not just.
There's no evidence that Judge Daigle did not individualize this sentence. He gave your client so many breaks. And he talked about his bad childhood. He ordered mental health treatment. He ordered Gambling Anonymous. It's very clear that he gave this the qualitative treatment that it deserved. And any specific argument that he didn't discuss from the bench was implicitly considered, because it's clear that he listened to all the arguments and read all the material that was submitted and fashioned such a lenient sentence under the circumstances that it can hardly be either procedurally or substantively defective.
Well,
if your client had been prosecuted in state court for these crimes, his sentence would be a lot longer.
Could be. Could be.
The irony of this statutory scheme or sort of guideline scheme.
I understand. My time
Thank
is
you.
Up.
Mr. Sterling.
May it please the Court, Michael Sterling on behalf of the United States. The government submits that the district court was only required to set forth enough in the sentencing decision to satisfy this court that the party's arguments were considered and that the judge had a reasoned basis for this decision. The court met that obligation when it provided its rationale for giving the appellant a 96-month sentence, which was, in fact, below the advisory guideline range. There are no further questions from the panel at this time. The government would just respectfully request that the sentence imposed by district court be affirmed.
All right. Thank you.
Very good.
And Mr. Sherman, your time has expired.
That's fine.
Thank you. Thanks to both.